One of the beautiful things about songs like this for me is that I don't stick to the words. Like for Open My Eyes, I would say Open Our Eyes, for instance. Open the eyes of my family. Open the eyes of South Africa. And so you can really interact as in part of worship and intercession, because we're in the throne room of God. And so always just, I don't think we're breaking the copyright law. We're just enjoying interacting with God, with words that do help us a bit. Another powerful thing, this, what we've been singing, now is holy, 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 open the eyes of our hearts. I remember when God took me into His holiness, His presence, and that's the time I was over here with God. I wanted to run out this building, and because I understood the old covenant reality of us not being able to enter into the Holy of Holies because the blood had not been shed yet. And the Holy Spirit just spoke very, very into my life. He says, you're not able to stand in the presence of God because of just the sinful reality, but appropriate new covenant. So when we holy, 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 we can be in the throne room of God, the most holy place, because of the blood of Jesus. And it's good to appropriate this in times of worship as we sing, Lord, your blood. And so that's my part as well for us. Lord, thank you for your blood that has cleansed us, because your blood, we as a family can be in your presence. Reveal yourself. Open the eyes of our heart. Let me see who you really are. More of your revelation of who you are to us. And that's part, again, that's why worship is much more than just singing. Interact with God and participate with the revelation the Holy Spirit has been sharing for many, many years as we begin to intercede for our communities, for our nation. And it just takes on another participation with the Holy Spirit who's helping us here. So let's carry on with where we are. Steve, last Sunday, I'm not going to correct anything, okay? But what Steve was sharing was very important to understand the essence of sin, because the very essence is rebelliousness towards God and His ways and His nature, etc. And that's the human nature. And that is why it's impossible for the unsaved person to really walk in the ways of God, because that nature is just rebelling against God. That the very first sin, what we call the original sin, as Steve said, is where Adam and Eve rebelled. So that's the nature. That's why the devil is a rebellious. That's why it's called the spirit of rebellion that we speak about, that Paul writes about. But the joy is that being a newborn created in Christ Jesus, the new covenant, God said, I will pour my spirit in you that will help you to walk in my ways. And that's the privilege that we have as believers, the Holy Spirit and the new nature, that we're able to follow and to honor God and to really live in the reality of blessed be His name through our lives and what we say. So that was very important to understand what Steve was saying concerning the nature of sin and what it's all about. In saying that, we are busy looking at discovering the will of God. First of all, taking it from a different angle than the normal angle, because the normal way of discovering the will of God is for us to ask for, as a personal individual, God, what is your will for my life? And that's the normal way. But I want to share with you another way that I believe is far more helpful in understanding the will of God for your life. When we first begin to understand God's incredible agenda for the world and how we fit into that. And this is part of what we are busy looking at. We started on Wednesday evening at the coffee shop in the cell group over there, where we started to look at Isaiah chapter 2 and to begin to see the far bigger picture of God's agenda for the world, and how through His Son Jesus and the promises and the prophecies that He has made, you start to begin to really realize, but God, you have an incredible agenda for all humanity. So let's start there. That's why we're praying that our Father will open the eyes of our heart to see His heartbeat and to know what the heartbeat of God is for the nations, for humanity. And then we'll be able to realize that. But now, see where I can fit into that, where we as a body of Christ can fit into that and our part in that. So that's the process that we are going through. And this is why I've been speaking a lot about to understand who we are in the Spirit. Because when we understand God's agenda and we start to connect and receive and get into agreement, we start to operate in who we are in the Spirit to be able to see that which is in the Spirit, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And then we become extremely effective and fruitful here on earth in manifesting God's agenda, His will, His kingdom come, His will be done here on earth. Now, in Romans chapter 8, I think we know this very well, but just to see what God has done and how He has provided for you and I to be able to know and to be able to grasp, be able to live out in the reality of what God's agenda is for our life. If we start with ourselves, we get pretty confused because it's very limited, and what normally takes place, God, what is your will for my life? And there's nothing wrong with that, but just putting it another direction. What happens is, God, what's your will in my life? How will this fit into the church structure? And there's no space for me. And these kind of things take place. It could be like 50 worship leaders or musicians. And that, how does that fit in the church environment? And that is why we got to look at God's agenda and see how we fit into God's agenda, which is much bigger than church agenda. Okay, and just opens up the reality of what the kingdom of God is all about and how we all fit into the incredible kingdom of God and His divine purpose for His family, for you and I. So to help us, we read here in Romans chapter 8, let me just read something interesting before that, because we read here that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into glorious freedom of the children of God. That's quite a statement. I haven't got revelation there yet too much. I'm starting to see God's agenda for the creation. You see, and how do I fit in? Because some of you might find you've got such a desire to be able to be involved in liberating creation. Okay, that's why it's bigger than church. And we start off with what God's agenda is for all of His creation. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth. So you notice the word groaning again. So creation is groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So again, notice the word groaning and notice the connection to the Holy Spirit over here. So our spirit knows something, and there's an inward groaning for what we are waiting for, because we only have the first fruits, basically, of all that is waiting for us when we leave this earth and we continue just to grow and grow in who we really are. And so there's that groaning taking place. We long for that freedom from this body and from all the stuff that hinders us so often. Not only so, but we ourselves have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So that's the future redemption of our bodies, because we need a spiritual body. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. So again, we're speaking about a future reality who hopes for what he already has. But if we hope for what we do not have yet have, we wait for it patiently. Now, in the same way, see, so there's a future, there's a groaning, creation's groaning, all these things are taking place while we are sitting here today. In the same way, the Spirit of God helps us in our weakness. In the same way, the Spirit of God helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts, this is God the Father, who knows our hearts, searches our hearts. Nothing is hidden from us. All our frustrations, all the longings, everything that God is busy doing by Spirit within us, there's nothing that our Heavenly Father does not know. He who searches our hearts, now it carries on, He who searches our hearts, and He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. We have received the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit within us interceding on our behalf. Our Heavenly Father who searches our hearts knows the realities that we face. But the Holy Spirit is now interceding on our behalf before the throne room of our Heavenly Father. So it's amazing. You've got this incredible interaction with the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because later on Jesus is interceding. And that's why we can pray and we can sing holy, holy, because Jesus, His blood is interceding for us to be in the very awesome presence of God. Okay. So open our eyes so that we can see the incredible glory of God. And this is important because it's preparing a foundation. So when we continue in Isaiah 2 and we start to see about the mountain of the Lord and the glory of God, we're starting to begin to understand a better picture of God's agenda and what His glory is all about. Because it's not just bright lights. In His glory, there's such a fullness of His mercy, His love, such a fullness of His holiness. Everything about God is being revealed. It's tangible. It's manifesting. And as people can experience who God really is, His fullness that we're looking at. So here we're starting to see, and your spirit groans for this because your spirit knows something about this glory of God. Okay, and that's now the Holy Spirit is interceding according to the perfect will of God because the Holy Spirit knows the agenda of God and we don't know the agenda of God. We're wanting to discover the agenda of God. The Holy Spirit knows our frustration because we want to do the will of God because being a child of God, we have a desire that's part of being a child of God. Now the Spirit of God works in us. We've got a desire for the things of God. Before we had no desire. Now we've got a desire, but we may be frustrated because we just don't know how we fit into this incredible plan of God. And we're trying everything. And we get confused. We start to say to ourselves, but maybe I mustn't do this engineering because that's not the will of God. No, that's not what we're talking about. God's agenda. Engineering could be the place where you need to be able to connect and to make the love of God revealed to wherever you may be. So again, we must get beyond those natural gifts and talents and abilities God has birthed in all of us. And to understand the big picture, the agenda of God, and stay over there and you'll see all the incredible talents that we have. Now it's for His glory. And it's a total different thing. So we've got, carry on over here. He intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And just this groaning again. This groaning, it's in the way the Greek is constructed, the Holy Spirit is doing something within us that produces within us these groans. And it's more our own groans that the Holy Spirit is sharing something and it's like, wow. And our spirit is once again groaning. That's the way the Greek is structured over here to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we will look at some scriptures later on in this area, hopefully. So, and He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for us, the saints, in accordance with God's will. For me, I find that incredibly comforting to know that the Holy Spirit is interceding for all of us according to the will of God, the perfect will of God. See, faith now, faith. When this comes alive, Now there's a faith. This is now real. It's a substance now. And now we can, wow, Holy Spirit, I thank you. And it's not just a text. Now it's very real and you can interact with the Holy Spirit knowing that He's interceding. I don't know what to pray for. I'm groaning because I'm longing for more. There's so much more, but I don't understand these things. But you, Holy Spirit, you are interceding for me. Thank you for that. I want to thank you, Father, that you know the very mind of the Holy Spirit, your Spirit. And you're going to answer. And it's that yieldedness. Okay? And this is where we'll look at a prayer later on as we pray for one another about working out our salvation as God works within us. His will and purpose in our lives. Another powerful scripture is that one in Proverbs 29 verse 18, that again, well quoted scripture where we read, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. So yeah, we see something, the necessity of getting revelation of God's agenda, because that somehow enables us to stay focused. It enables us to have direction. It keeps us from running wild and just in a chaotic lifestyle, just trying to discover what the purpose of life is. Revelation. Father, open the eyes of our hearts today that we may get a grip and a glimpse and being established in your incredible agenda for this world. What's on your heart? Who are you? Show us. And we're starting to move into that more. In another translation, when there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. People become lawless. But when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul. And again, but blessed is he who keeps the law. The law is not just speaking about the Ten Commandments. It's speaking about the teachings of God, the teachings of Christ. It's a bigger picture of that. We're praying for revelation. 26 years ago, we're in the 26th year, on the 5th of November, first of all, in 1989, that is when God spoke about the 1947 and he shared. And one of the things he shared gave me an instruction and he said over there, don't let go of this vision. That was one of the instructions. Don't let it go. Hold tight. See, this is why we need the Holy Spirit in our weakness to intercede for us. Because it's easy to let go of vision. The revelation. If we let go, we lack restraint and we just get confused and we're running around trying to do everything in finding the will of God. We need revelation, what God wants to share with us. This is where we're going. He said to me, don't sell out. Don't sell the vision. Don't sell it to the enemy. Extremely important, because it's very easy to sell the vision and compromising and choosing the ways of the world again. Selling out. And then the third thing he said was, don't make a treaty. Don't sign a treaty. It's very easy when your spirit knows something and your flesh is shouting there to make a treaty with the flesh and come up with some kind of argument and agreement to try and get a peace treaty between spirit and flesh. Don't sell, don't sign treaties. We in the spirit, we walk in the spirit, and we now need to know what it is to be in the spirit, so we're not signing treaties with the fallen flesh and fulfilling its desires. It's so easy. And then we never really find peace because there's a conflict between our spirit and our soul. So I had to do a lot of repenting. I had to realize, Lord, your mercies are new every day. Because I know my weaknesses. I know the areas. But again, I want to praise God again for his incredible grace, in helping us to continue the vision, because His mercy is on you every morning. So don't be in despair if you find that you have sold out or you have let go of the vision, the calling of God. And this is why for us as a family of God, we are in this place where God is once again just bringing us back who we are in the Spirit, what's His agenda, and how we as a family of God connect to this and live it out here in a very practical way here in our towns that we are living in. So, where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. It's interesting that word there, who cast off restraints. It's a word taking off all your clothes and running naked. And that what takes place is just, we just really just going crazy. So that's what we're wanting to have a look at, and we're going to be spending quite a bit of time in just, first of all, seeking God's revelation and how we fit into that. Later on, not going to be much longer, later on, if it's okay with you, I'd like us to just to pray for the person next to you or wherever. We want to pray, God, open our eyes. God, want you by your Spirit reveal your agenda. Help us. And so it's part of praying for one another, because there's also an impartation. There's something about connecting with the work of the Holy Spirit today in praying for one another so that we can get an understanding, a greater clarity of His agenda. In Matthew 28, there's so many scriptures that we could look at, but just some of the things that we will, just to give examples. Yeah, we see Jesus has been crucified. We see He's been raised again. We can see the hatred towards Christ by the religious community or the religious leaders or some of those. And so we see an environment that is a bit hostile to the disciples of Jesus, to the followers of Jesus. There's a betrayal and all these things that have taken place. And Jesus now meets them at the mount, and He says to these 11 disciples at that time, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Picture yourself on the mountain with all the environment, all the activities around, and all the anti-Christ activity taking place. And here's Jesus saying to these 11 men, there's a world out there. You see, God's agenda is bigger than our own personal abilities. Our vision for our own personal life is too small if you start with ourselves. That's why we start with who God is and start to understand His agenda. Because the disciples are hearing to go and make disciples of all nations. That's quite an agenda. Can you see the agenda of God? It's bigger. How do we connect with that? And that's why this scripture is a very important scripture, to help us to see where we fit into this incredible world agenda of God for all generations. Because Jesus says, I'll be with you to the very end of the age. The age has not yet come to the end. So it hasn't stopped this incredible great commission. So we read there in Acts chapter 1, where again Jesus is speaking to the disciples. And He says to them, there in verse 4, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And He's speaking about the kingdom. And He says over there, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then he carried on and he said, it is not for you to know the times or dates of the Father as set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So again, we see God has spoken on in Matthew 28 about the Great Commission. And then he says, but guys, you just wait over here, because you can't do this on your own ability. You're going to need the gift that my Father has promised. That's the Holy Spirit and his ability. You're going to receive that. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, now you'll be empowered to be able to live and fulfill God's agenda beyond our own agenda. Our own agenda, we just need our own abilities. That's all. We're busy now with God's agenda. We need God's incredible power to be able to walk and to fulfill his agenda. This is why yieldedness to the Holy Spirit now is crucial for you and I. Acts chapter 2, we see then the Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and then we start to see those disciples starting to fulfill God's agenda. And we are receiving the benefits of them moving out to fulfill God's agenda. And the church has carried on ever since. We know John chapter 3 verse 16. Well, again, let me just read it. But in John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one and begotten son, God's agenda. And that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned forever. Can you remember, for some of you may remember, again, I can just speak from my own journey with God. And I've shared this a few times. When I was asking God, and I'm searching, there's a groaning, why do I exist? Why am I here in Sasselburg, Metsamahola? What's the reason for that? As I began to question and ask God these questions, why do we as a body of Christ exist? And that's when he spoke very clearly, and he asked me that very question, and he said to me, why am I here? And as I've shared before, I had all the theological answers. I could have answered, God, because of your sovereign will, because Steve and the committee called me over here. I could go that route. And I knew all of that was not what God wanted me to understand. And I said, but God, why? Why am I here in this town? And he said, you are here because I love the people of this town. You see, for God so loved the world. So now we're starting to understand God's agenda. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son. And then he asked me the second question, why is the church, the body of Christ? That time he used the word church for me, because that was my understanding. Why is the body of Christ here in this town? And at the moment I saw a lot of the history of the church and the conflicts and all the things that had taken place and all that there I saw very briefly. And he just said, church is in this town because I love the people of this town. God's agenda for this community, for the town that we live in, for the world. So how do we fit into that? All of a sudden we start to realize it's not about me, about that stuff there. God, you love. How do I grow in the revelation of your love so that you love the people, and through this love that's in me, I can start to now manifest that in whatever way is possible. So we're now getting rooted and established in the reality of his love that is poured into our heart. Starting point. As God, to know the will of God, to know the will for our lives. That's the starting point. And that's why Paul prays all the time that we may know this incredible love, that we may be rooted and established in this incredible love, so that the fullness of God will be made known. His glory again, who he is. It's his agenda to reveal himself to the world. But we've got warfare, Satan blinds the minds, etc. So there's a lot of very practical work for you and I to connect to when we start to say, okay, God, I hear what you're saying. Today, I'm not just going to receive what you're saying, but I'm going to get into agreement with what you are saying. Because unless you get into agreement, we never start walking with God in this area. How can two walk together unless they get into agreement? So when I start to get into agreement, God, your agenda, now I'm now taking responsibility and now I'm going to start working out my salvation as we continue. So not only receiving, it's easy to receive grace. Oh God, I receive your grace. Thank you. But to get into agreement, what that grace is all about is a whole different ballgame. Not many people, not many believers want to get into agreement of what the grace is all about, empowering us to be able to live for His glory. But we receive grace for salvation. So it's much bigger when you start to see who God is and understand His agenda and connect and get into agreement with His agenda. To agree with God, His agenda is now getting to the place where I must make a decision. Oh, my will or your will. You see? And that's a surrender time. And today, as the Holy Spirit reveals more of who God is, what He is interceding for us. Because inside there's groaning. I want to know, I want to do your will, but I'm battling because there's a battle of my flesh. The Holy Spirit is interceding. Thank the Holy Spirit. God will answer and you'll have a grace to surrender. And that's surrendering all the time. It's a daily thing. It's not just a once-off thing. Every single day you're going to find connected to God's love and He has an opportunity. He wants to do something and you and I have to make a decision. To agree with Him or just to receive that God is love. Well, we're going to now agree and put into action His love. So Matthew chapter 6, again, these are just well-known scriptures that I'm using just to highlight God's agenda. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, we read over there about all the worries and these things. And He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. That's pretty profound teaching of Jesus. Do not worry about your life. Very profound. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear, is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He's not promoting for us to be lazy. Not at all. He's given an example of God's provision. The way God has created the animals. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And then he carries on. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God, see the revelation of God. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you? There's so much there about spiritual clothing as well. Are you of little faith? So do not worry saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what we shall wear. For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry as well about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. When we start to seek the agenda of God, what's taking place? We are now connecting to this truth of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then we start to see the promises become a reality. Incredible insight to the very nature of a Heavenly Father. He wouldn't tell us as His family to seek the kingdom of God and we're all going to starve to death. No. He's helping us to understand the way He operates. He's helping us to understand who we are in the spiritual realm and how to live from the Spirit with His agenda. We're beginning to understand how the provision of God starts to operate in the way He might give us creative ideas, whatever it may be, open up work, careers, whatever it may be. But we're now beginning to see, God, your agenda. This is the promise. And that is why then Jesus continues and He teaches us to pray, and He says to them, do not be like the pagans that don't know how to pray and they're babbling, etc. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. See, seeking first, give us today our daily bread, and the provisions of God we start to experience coming into our lives. It's a different thing to get into agreement with this truth and to be able to say, okay, Lord, first of all, your agenda, and I'm going to get an agreement to walk as your Spirit reveals to me more and more and makes us not just scripture, but I start to live in the reality of your heartbeat for my family, your heartbeat for my community, your heartbeat for the nation and the nations, whatever it may be. And then you start to find the next part that I want to share quickly as we close in Philippians chapter 2. Then as we start to seek His agenda, Philippians 2 becomes a very real reality with the Holy Spirit interceding for us, Jesus interceding for us, we are interceding. And then He says over here in Philippians 2 verse 13, let's go verse 12. How much more in my absence continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So here we see the interaction between our responsibility and God's sovereignty. Here we see that responsibility, the connection between us now receiving His grace, agreeing with His grace, and beginning to live out in the terms and conditions of this grace of God that He has provided for us. And He says over there, work it out, manifest this inner life, this new creation life, manifest it out to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. So whatever God is working within us, we have the responsibility to work it out. That's the agreement. That's what you and I do. That's the obedience to the Holy Spirit. That submission to the Holy Spirit because we love God. That's what this is about. So it can be dangerous to say, God, show me your agenda. But it's a good thing because as children of God, we have been created. We died with Christ. We've been raised with Him in order to live a new life, to reveal His glory. That's who we are. We are light. And so now, if you would like to, as we have communion this morning, to maybe pray for one another. Lord, you're working in our hearts. You're stirring something at your will. Into Holy Spirit, you're interceding. Won't you help us to understand? Won't you enable us to have clarity of what we are experiencing on the inside so that I can make a decision and get into agreement? You might want to also pray that prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 that I mentioned, where Paul is praying concerning the love of God. We looked at the prayer in chapter 1 the other day, but in chapter 3, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit, gain the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because we've got a mission, we've got an agenda that God has revealed, and we're working it out here on earth as it is in heaven. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. And then as the Holy Spirit in Christ and as we are interceding now to Him, God, who is able to do immeasurably more because of the power of the Holy Spirit, is working with us more than what we ask. And this is why, if you believe this today, we're asking God to show us His agenda. And God says, I will show you and I'll give you even more than what you've asked for. Because I want to reveal my fullness to you. I want to show who I am. And then He shows us who He is. There's something that takes place. We are transformed as we behold His glory. We are transformed from glory to glory to glory all the time. And you find with that transformation taking place within us, there's something that takes in our lives to be able to really connect more and more to understanding the purpose of God and to see the life of Christ manifest in the body of Christ. And that's his last verse he says over here. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Not our, it is at work within us. It is God who is willing and doing his will and his purposes by the Spirit. He's working that in us. He is at work within us this morning. To him be glory in the church. And this is why for us as a body of Christ, we're understanding so that his glory can be revealed through the church and in his son Jesus Christ through all generations forever and ever. Amen. God's agenda. Okay, so come and help yourself to communion, and it'll be good if you want to just sit with one another, pray for one another. You might want to go to someone else and just pray. You might see somebody that you know. And just to pray, God, open our eyes. Open the eyes. Help us to understand if you're willing to know the agenda of God. If not, it's okay. What can you do then? We've got bouncers at the back, okay? But let's go on, yeah. Father, first of all, I want to thank you for your Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives. The way that you share with us in our spirit what's on your mind, the deep things on your mind. Sometimes we do, as we read over there, we find this frustration, we find this groaning because our spirit is excited, but our mind, our soul, and our bodies is just not grasping it there. And we long for clarity and insight. And Father, this morning, thank you as you open our eyes. Thank you as you reveal yourself to us at a greater level of glory than we had when we came into this building this morning. We want to thank you, Holy Spirit, as you just minister to each and every one of us. Jesus, you alone, as you just walk around and you just lay hands and you impart into our lives as we have communion with you. We want to thank you that we can really fellowship with you during this time of communion, a true understanding of what communion is all about. And we thank you. So, Holy Spirit, thank you. We just want to just honor your incredible ministry here amongst our lives. And we give you praise and glory. And this, Father, we thank you and give. And again, just to be able to live so that our lives honor you and we can truly say, blessed be your name here on earth through our lives in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.